Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
We're going to diagnose the heart. Amen. I certainly don't claim to stand up here and to be able to diagnose something that for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years has been debated. What is the heart? Is it the spirit man? Is it the soul man? Is it in between the spirit and the soul? What is the heart? Now, there are many views and many opinions out there, but I want to just make something emphatically clear up front as we come to the doctor. Jesus is a physician. Do you agree? Do you know that he desires to heal you? He's not only desiring it, he's not only willing, but how about this? He's a qualified, certified, able doctor to heal you. He says, I'm willing and I'm able. How about that? See, we can go to doctors and they can study 7-10 years and they can give their best view and a qualified view to heal the natural man, amen, the physical man. We're going to go to a doctor who's not only qualified, he has years and years, generations of proven medical restoration, body, soul, spirit, amen. Who's actually been healed here by Jesus Christ? In your life, you've got a miracle. Okay, I wanted you to see something. Everyone put up your hand who's been healed by Jesus. Every one of you put up your hand. Every one of you are a testimony. And it just goes on and on, generation and generation of the faithfulness of God. Amen. Jeremiah 17, as I said last week, says this, heal me and I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved. Folk, I want you to understand the declaration. Not heal me, Lord. Okay, I must do this, I must do that, or I must say that. God is saying the promise, heal me and I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved. Who believes that? Folk, it gets tested. The enemy comes to test and says, but hold on, you Christian, you're making these claims in the corner. Heal me, Lord. I'm not seeing the evidence of healing. Faith can never be, by sheer definition, can never be the visible sight. It has to be something that sees into the spirit realm. Faith is the certainty of things not seen. When you start to appropriate a supernatural divine intervention of God, even though not seen visibly, now you start to walk in this faith, accessing this realm that legally, through the blood of Jesus, you access, you walk into. It's yours. I think we need to deal with something tonight. We often could put up our hands and say, Jesus is able. But is he willing? Is he willing? The enemy wants to come and put a little... He wants to tap on your brain. He wants to remind you, oh, what about that? What about that? What about this? No, we take the stance that on the cross, Jesus says, his body ripped and broken, that we may go whole. If the Bible says, penned by the Spirit, written by the Holy Spirit, that by his stripes we are healed, is that just physical healing? Is that just spiritual healing? Everything that Christ does when he stands and he on the cross and he goes, it is finished. I want you to know something. The wholeness of man, every aspect of the Adamic fall. Adam fell spiritually first, emotionally, and then physically he died. Do you know when you come look at the work of Christ, he reverses the order. The exact same the way that Adam fell, Christ reverses it spiritually. This is how he does it. This is how he works. When Christ says, it is finished, it is done. I want us to look at what is blocking your heart? Now, I'm enjoying my little medical things that I'm learning on the internet there, what the heart is. How many chambers does the heart have? How many gospels do we have? So actually, the four gospels have the power to cleanse the four chambers of my heart. Amen? Obviously, I'm talking not of the physical, natural heart, because that's really a muscle. But how about this? Everything. Can I teach you a principle about the kingdom? If it's in the natural, it will be proved supernaturally. Everything of the natural. So Christ says in the Gospels, and Paul says, first the natural, then the supernatural. So the heart has four chambers. We're going to look at a prophetic picture of the heart, the inner man that God wants to cleanse. And what he's actually saying is, my four gospels, my four words have the power to cleanse every chamber that is getting blocked. Amen. You see, I think often what can happen is you think your heart's not blocked. Honestly, I've never had an angiogram. Angiogram. I like that's the easy way for me to remember. Angiogram. Who's ever had an angiogram here? Roy has. And I'm not putting any fear in. Hear what I'm saying. I've never had one. I couldn't even tell you if my heart is blocked. But you see, this is the thing, is that when we come to the Word, when we come to the Spirit, I love what Sori said to me today, that the Spirit is like a dye. It's a see-through dye that the doctors, the cardiologists, inject into your, I think it's your arm or whatever, and it goes into your heart. Interesting, the clear fluid goes through. Where there is no fluid, there's the block. Isn't that the work of the Spirit? So when I come to Him, and I humble myself in His presence, and I say, Father, by Your Spirit, search me. What does David say? Search me. How about we do an angiogram tonight in your bed? And as you lie in your bed, Spirit of God, search me. And if there's any offensive way, if there's any blockage in way, break through. Are we doing angiograms tonight? Folk, I just, you know what I love? I'm going to give you natural pictures, and there's the supernatural fulfillment. You see, now what happens where there is a block? The Holy Spirit says, all right, I don't know the terms, aorta, this, or whatever. You've got a blockage. Okay, no problem. What the Spirit's going to do is point it out, and then the Spirit is going to bring the stent, the Word, and open it up. What does Hebrews 4 say? Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and active. Say the word active. I'm not talking about the Logos written word that was published by Zonovan. Please understand, I'm talking about the living Rhema Word of God. The Word of God is living, it is active, sharper than any double-edged sword, any surgical equipment that a doctor can bring. The Word of God is so precise. How about this? Next time you see your doctor, ask them, how do you divide the spirit and the soul? That is the precision of the Word of God that comes in with such power that literally it can divide the spirit man and the soul man. You are a spirit being, and you're a soul being, and you're a physical being. The accuracy of the penetrating power of the Word of God literally can split the two. But more than that, it comes in, it says, it judges the thoughts and the motives. Wow. Okay, now hold on. I don't know if I quite like that idea. This precision surgeon, God the Holy Spirit, comes in and literally everything in my heart, my motives, my thoughts, lie bare before Him, to whom we will give an account one day. How about this? That the heart man, the heart, the word heart, is spoken over 1,000 times in the Bible. I think that's a long search. Amen. I'll tell you, when you start diving a bit and you just think this, what the enormity of this thing of the heart, please understand the value that God places over your heart. The value of your heart. Over 1,000 references to the heart of man, the heart of God. Listen to this. Heart, Greek word, cardia. Logically, where do we get the word? Cardiologist, Greek. The word cardia, listen to this. I'm going to give you a definition, and it's a bit of a teaching time tonight. It's laying foundation over and over. And how about this? We will never get this side of eternity to the end of God's work on our hearts. Amen. Amen. If you think you've arrived, you go right back to grade one, or even grade 000, and it's called pride. You know what I mean? So please understand, this side of eternity, it's a thing that the Spirit of God is continuously working into our hearts. The day, I'll tell you now, I was chatting with Brad today. Man, there's been moments when we think we've arrived. And honestly, I'm about to be a Puritan and write the book on holiness. And the next minute, there is one massive, mighty war waiting for me. The truth is this, our lives are fully dependent every moment and every day on the person and work of the Spirit of God. Is your heart blocked? Let's ask the Spirit of God. I love it. David says, anything that is offensive to you. I think I've offended the Lord today. I think I offended the Lord yesterday. The Lord is saying, I love you. And that little offense, I'm just going to... It comes when we allow the Spirit of God just to come in and work and just break open. Remember, He's going to wait for you. The doctor doesn't phone you and say, listen, 3 times a year annual check. He doesn't. You go to the doctor. He stands and he's waiting. Listen to this. Heart does not refer to the physical organ, but is always used figuratively in Scripture to refer to the seat and the center of human life. The heart is the center of your personality, and it controls the intellect, emotions, and will. Now, we know that the soul man is your mind, your will, and your emotions, but it seems that the heart controls it. We're going to look at this. The spirit man, which I've always struggled to theologically unpack, I'll be honest with you, because what is the spirit man? Well, John 4, worship me in spirit and in truth. We don't worship the Lord with our soul. How about that? The soul must come under sanctification. It must come under the renewing power of the Holy Spirit. The spirit man is what worships God. Why? Because spirit must apprehend spirit. If God is spirit, the way we worship Him has to be in spirit. So I've always struggled to understand where is the spirit man, whatever. Theologically, chronologically, I'm there, but I'm, you know, what's the difference between the spirit and the heart? The truth is this. It is so interlinked and interwoven. Three things, but isn't God one and three? Isn't spirit, soul, heart so intrinsically linked, yet the Word of God can divide the two? The soul man and the heart are closely linked, as I've said. It's interesting. As I said, Hebrews 4, spirit and soul divide. How about Mary? When in the book of Luke, when Mary worships and says, thank you, God, she worships with her spirit, and the next sentence, worships with her soul. Have you ever seen that? It says in Luke 1, it says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God. We have the spirit of Mary, and we have the soul of Mary, distinctly doing two different things, yet one. It's interesting. We studied, and anyone who claims that they can unpack everything perfectly, I'm not quite sure, because like the mystery of the Godhead, I think God's left the mystery with a soul, spirit, heart. I think it's a beautiful journey that we're discovering. Amen. Continuously. Let's keep going. I want us to turn Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 6. I want you to see something that really, who knows that God's heart can be broken, can be hurt. Genesis 6, verses 5 to 6. Look at this. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of human race had become on earth, that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was for evil. I want you to see something. Every inclination, it is bent on evil. It can't think good. It can't even do one thing good. Its inclination is evil. But notice something. I want you to see something. The thoughts of the heart. Your heart thinks. Next one, please. Next verse. It said the Lord regretted that he made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. This is the Father, the Creator, Yahweh Almighty. His heart deeply troubled. See, Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, guard your heart. Look at this, above all else. I'm going to show you, say that word, all else. We're going to look at the negative. And we're going to look at the positive. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 19. Look at this. It said, the heart is deceitful above all things. Say all things. Beyond cure. Who can understand it? I want you to say the word. All things. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Look at this. Now we're going to start seeing the power of the cross. We're going to start to see the regeneration of what Christ has done on the cross. So Jeremiah, a prophet, declaring, which is simply echoing Genesis 6, every inclination is evil. Jeremiah is saying everything of the heart is wicked. Right. Then something incredible happens. There's a prophetic declaration. I want to read this as well. Ezekiel 36, verses 26. Look at the power of this king. Look at the power of salvation and what happened. He says, I will give you a new heart. And I put a new spirit in. How about that? Again, heart, transplant one. Spirit, transplant two. Distinct, different things. I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. I'll remove the heart of stone. The Genesis 6 stone. The Jeremiah 17 stone. I will remove it. Why? Because we had it. Anyone outside of Christ, they can be a Mother Teresa and they can do everything wonderful. The view of God is they have a heart of stone and everything is bent on evil. Everything absent from God being centered is actually evil. Wicked. The thing is this, is that often we can, God says, you judge by external look. You judge that person by what they do. I look at the heart. If it's stony, I've got to smash it with the dynamite of the cross of Jesus Christ. If it's in Christ, it's soft, it's pliable, it's tender, and it has a heart after me. Look at that. You're sitting here this evening and you've given your life to Christ. One, you've had a heart transplant. Chris Barnard's got nothing on Jesus Christ. Those four chambers were clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have a new spirit. And it goes on to say, which Curtis was the next verse, 26, 27. Basically it says, after your new heart, after the spirit, then what does the Bible say? I will put my spirit. Notice the difference. Theologically understand. Small s, big s. New spirit, because you cannot worship God without a transformed spirit. Amen. Because you have a new spirit, you now can have capital S, Holy Spirit. You now become a possession of the Spirit, and that's called federal headship theology. You've moved from the Adamic headship into a new headship called Christ. And only under the headship of Christ can you have S, capital Spirit, residing and dwelling. All right, are we together? Is everyone there? All right, so we've read the scripture, Proverbs 4:23. We know it well. But could I say this again? I did not guard my heart yesterday. I didn't guard my heart the day before. So if I had to do an angiogram, I could rest assure you there was a little bit of blockage. Are we going to be vulnerable and honest before the Spirit of God as you lie on the bed and allow Him to say, actually, that? We can quote scripture, above all else, guard your heart. But how often do we miss that? How often do we forget about it? I want us to see what the heart does. Guys, if there's over 1,000 scripture about your heart, what value does God place on it? And what value and what attention are we giving it? Number one, what are you watching? Well, let me jump a bit back. Sorry, I wanted to quickly say, what does the heart do? Number one, you think with your heart. Your heart has thoughts. Please move away from this muscle that pumps blood. That is an organ, and it's to pump blood and oxygen around your body. I'm referring to the inner man, the heart man. You think with your heart, Genesis 6. You can think good things, or you can think wicked. You believe in your heart. Romans 10 says, with your mouth you confess, and with your heart you believe. Let me tell you, that heart is so fragile to unbelief or belief. You have to protect that heart of belief, guys, because that's where the enemy wants to go. He wants to bring unbelief into the heart. Folk, I'm not talking about your spirit. That is brand new, born again at salvation. It can never be touched, because if the Spirit of God resides in there, who can else can go in there? No one can. The heart, which I'm going to use a word, it's almost like it's in between the spirit and the soul, but don't hold me and quote me on that one, but it seems to be more linked to controlling the soul. Guys, that place is open. That's why Paul says, be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Your mind, your will, your emotions is so susceptible to fear. So susceptible to unbelief. It's such a treasure. That's why God says, above all else. So Jeremiah says, above all else, you wicked outside of Christ. Now in Christ, above all else, God. That heart. Guys, it needs to be guarded. The Spirit will not do that for you. He's saying to you, guard your heart. That is the partnership we play with the Holy Spirit. And you'll see Paul says that in Timothy later on. I'm not going to talk about that now. You see with your heart. Open the eyes of my heart. Do you know that the eyes of the heart is what comprehends the realm of the supernatural? The eternal realm, the eyes have to be opened. Whatever you get naturally, you'll always get supernaturally. Natural eye, spiritual eye. Natural ear, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Guess what? It's not these ears. You hear with your heart. Amen. You hear with your heart. You worship with your heart. How about this? John 4, and it's linked again with spirit and soul, but you worship in the spirit. David, he says, I found a man after my own heart. Hey, how about that? He's found, how do we worship God? Has to be in spirit. And David says, I found one with my own heart. Heart to heart, exactly. You love the Lord with all your heart. All your soul, again, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything that God does, he talks about the triunion or the tripartite of your very being. We love him with our physical strength. I love him with my mind. I love him with my heart. I love him with my soul. The spirit man is already perfect. Do you see it's not mentioned in there? Why? It doesn't have to be. It is perfect because the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit. The soul man, the heart man gets contaminated and gets blurry when it comes to true devoted worship, which we'll talk about now. Your heart has desires that are good. We hear, may he grant the desires of your heart. Your heart plans. It is in the heart that the Lord tests you. Folk, here's the solar plex one. Actually, the Lord says throughout Exodus, Deuteronomy, test you to reveal what is in your heart. How do you know what's in your heart? No problem. Just go to the doctor cardiologist. He will just press a button. Boom. What you didn't know was there will come out. Oh, gee, Lord, I didn't quite realize that's what I thought. Wow, that's interesting, Ian. I didn't think you'd act like that. And this is the thing. The Lord says, I'm going to do a work, and I'm going to show you what's blocking my full life operating in you. Christ had a completely unblocked 100% angiogram test. How do we know? I thought Brad preached at Perla this morning. If you weren't here, get it. Full of the Spirit? No problem. Angiogram test, 40 days, boom, power of the Spirit. Pass with flying colors. Folly is bound up in the heart. How about that? Folly is bound up in my little Caitlin, my little Samuel, my little Nathan. It's folly's there. Foolish is there because why? Genesis 6, Jeremiah 17. As much as I love my little petal, the Bible says outside of Christ, mom's ready for the punch, the heart is wicked. Understand this. That's God's view of your heart outside of Christ. In Christ, pure, spotless, perfect. Found a man after my own heart. You see, the writer in Ecclesiastes says this, and I think this is so key, guys. If he has set eternity in part of man, your heart holds eternity. If you want to access the eternal realm, the heart, do not let it get blocked up. Let it live free in God. Let it live free with his living water. Because when the heart is contaminated, when the heart is blocked, it is apprehended from laying hold of the full treasure of the eternal life. And there's certainly some things in my life that have blocked me. You know what is so amazing? Getting on your face before God, repenting. Angiogram, Spirit of God comes in and goes, oh, block, block, block. Father, forgive me. Wow. Open. How is it, and I'm not giving a license for this, so hear what I'm saying, not what I'm not saying. How is it that when we sin and fail and we fluff it and we repent, why is it that we feel and sense the greatest love and the grace of God? I'll tell you why. Before then, we think we're not blocked. So there's a certain self-reliance, a certain self-righteousness, a certain thing we stand on our own self-righteousness. When we fluff it, we get on our face before God. And he literally just opens the heart. And there's a humility and a gratitude. And we go, oh yeah, that's the power of the cross. That's what the blood has done. And you just sense this overwhelming love and grace. And guess what? It's always been there. The problem is my pride restricts me experiencing the grace of God. Are we good? Carry on. Let's go. Things to watch out for on your heart. What are you watching? Let me ask you straight, man and lady, what are you watching? That what you're watching is going to fill the heart. What are you reading? I'm just going to say this now, so I trust this is not here, but if we are looking at our horoscopes, if that's the right word, horoscopes, is that a horror? Amazing, no one ever preaches that. Folk, if we are going to another source to try to find what my destiny and what my future looks like, guys, watch out. What am I reading? What am I taking in? What am I filling? Remember this. Habakkuk says this. Write down. God says, write down the revelation. Make it plain and run with it. Guys, you need to read the revelation. You need to read the revelation of what God's given in His Son for the church. And it's found in the Word. What are you listening to? I've made a decision. I don't really listen to the news anymore. Okay? I'm not an ostrich. I'm not naive. I'm not stupid. I know what's going down. What I have found, a couple of months ago, I was so indoctrinated with the news. Do you know this? I dare you. Listen to the news. I'm not going to mention any channels. Call it the commercial channels, not Christian channels. Obviously, they'll be different. Listen to the percentage of negativity, of fear, of violence, of wickedness, of hatred. And I'll say this. There's one commentator that I probably would like to, well, we'll see. He actually spurs anger. He actually creates violence with people on the radio. Don't need to mention names. And I've said, what am I listening to? Now I want to start listening. Music, worship music. Guys, we're not stupid. We know what's going on. But I want to hear, what is the Word of God over this nation? What is the Word of God over this church? What is the Word of God over my family, over my marriage, over children, over whatever? That's what I want. Please understand, if He's the still, small, gentle voice, He's not going to interrupt your radio station. And He's not going to interrupt your soapy. He's not. He's going to wait like every good doctor does. You come to Him. You make an appointment with Him. And then He will speak to you. What are you thinking about? Well, Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinketh, I love that thinketh, that James version. As a man thinketh, so is he. What you're thinking is the response of what you're going to see. Because what happens is, as you think and embrace, it goes into the heart, it festers, it takes root, and it bears fruit two ways. Either fruit that is going to last, that God will bless, will be divisive, will be destructive, what comes out of your mouth. As you think, so you shall be. No problem. Just spend time watching violent movies. Just spend time watching adult themes that I don't believe that as married men and women and Christian single men and women, we are permitted to watch. Just watch what happens. What's your behavior to your wife or to your husband or to even dating partners? Lethal. Dangerous. Poison. What are you speaking? Could I say this? That death and life resides in the power of the tongue. How is it that Christ used His tongue to raise the dead? To bring healing. To bring freedom. Women bound in prostitution. Set free. Folk who are blind, deaf, mute, whatever. He used the power of His tongue. He unleashed heaven through the power of His tongue. Do you know that your tongue has the power? And please understand. Maybe this is a bit of an ego trip, but let me give it to you. Your tongue has the power to destroy. James says, if literally a match can set... I think about the Nisner forest. Think about the Californian forest. That little spark of a match that's that long, that probably costs 1 cent, has the power to level the entire forest. That's why James says, what your tongue has the power to destroy. But then surely, you have the power for resurrection life. You have the power when people are dead in their pain, dead in their bondage, dead in their shame. Through the power of the gospel, you can liberate and set. You see, what is filling your well? I find this is a very interesting thing, guys. In Genesis, Abraham dug wells. People came in, enemies came in, Philistines came in, and they filled them with rock and dirt. You see, what blocks the heart? Rock and dirt. Isn't that a picture of the world? The rock and dirt is what blocks the heart, blocks the well. Amazing. Isaac comes along, Genesis chapter 26, verses 18, for those who are taking notes, and he starts to unblock the well the father, Abraham, laid. You see, guys, this is something we've got to contend for and fight for. There could have been wells dug, but due to sin, stupidity, decisions, guys have blocked up an inheritance. They have blocked up something that is rightfully theirs. Their father opened the well. Do you know what? We need the Isaacs to come along, to come in and say, let me start helping you remove the rock, remove the sand, and let's fill it with living water. That means you need help. You need help. You need the Isaacs to come into your life and say, let me help you. Not that I'm perfect, not that you're perfect. Let's help each other and block the wells. Why? Because if I am overflowing, that means the world is getting watered. If I am able to, in a word, be drunk from, because remember, this is theologically correct. Jesus says, bring forth living water from your belly. How about that? Do you know this? God wants streams of living water that is in your belly to come gushing forth to a dry, thirsty world. Be very selfish and wrong to keep that water inside. It's not for you. It's never been for you. It's what has been put in you is to come out of you so that the world is thirsty, can come to you and have something to drink. See, Jesus says to the lady at the well, give me something to drink. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The world, Jesus was tired, thirsty. There's your prophetic picture. The world is coming to men and women who carry the water. Can I have something to drink? But if it's contaminated and shallow, how's the world going to get the water? How's it going to come out? I want to read one more scripture, Psalm 86, verses 11. I love this. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. The greatest times in my life where I've fallen, greatest times in my life where I've tripped up, has been the heart has been contaminated, it has been divided, and it has been overrun with many things. This heart is so precious. Isn't it interesting that when the heart is undivided, then we stand and know what it means to live in the fear of God? But if I take this in, if I play with that, if I embrace that, if I drink that poison, if I watch that and that, actually what happens, you ready for the solar punch again? You're not living in the fear of God. Purity dictates your authority into the nations of the world. Go read Revelations with the church of Thyatira. I will give you authority over nations. And that whole letter is written around purity. Let's go to Mark 7, verses 21. Wow. I want us to remove any victim mentality we possibly could have. And please understand this. And as Brad has knocked us hard today on it beautifully, it's easy to blame people. It's very easy to blame the economy. Very easy to blame my husband. Very easy to blame your marriage. Very easy to blame your wife, your children, everything. The crime, the president, the ruling party. Whatever it is, it's very easy to blame and say that's the influence upon my heart. That's the way I am. I'm bitter, I'm angry, I'm fearful, da-da-da, because of external. You know, that's absolute nonsense. It's yay. That's the word I was looking for. I'm learning my Afrikaans. That is yay. Kom in om my een. That is yay. Interesting. Let's go read. Mark 7. Look at this. So the whole context of the scripture is, how about this? The pork you're going to eat as a Jew does not make you unclean. How about that? Eating the crayfish that Jews are forbidden and all the seashells does not make you unclean. Do you know that Jesus declared all food clean even before the new covenant? I'm sure some Jews went, oh, thank you, Jesus. Let me go smash that pork right now. Interesting. He declared all food clean. And he says this, that is not what makes you filthy. How about this? Let's go. For it is from within, out of the person's heart, that evil thoughts come. You remember the word, your heart, you think? Sexual immorality. If you want to know why there's a sexual lust that you may be dealing with, because the heart is desiring it. It is wanting it. Theft. How about that? Murder comes from the heart. Doesn't come from external, political, criminal. Doesn't come from that. From the heart. Next, please. Adultery. Wow. The devil made me do it. Rubbish. Theologically, rubbish. You wanted it. Greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy. Remember I spoke about envy last week? Envy, that's from the heart. Slander, arrogance, folly. Arrogance comes from the heart. Folly comes from the heart. The rod of correction, which another word for the rod is the word. The rod drives folly from your children. How about this? Folly must be driven out. If you don't drive it, it remains. It must be driven out. We know the scripture, Luke 6:45. Take notes. What heart is full of. I love this. The mouth will speak. If your heart is full of faith, full of life, full of grace, full of persistent belief in the goodness of God, you're going to speak heaven and you will unleash heaven on earth. If your heart is bitter, if it is angry, if it is filled with resentment, that is what you're going to release. Interesting thing, I don't have time to talk too much about it, but how was it that God, after this great slaughter on Mount Carmel with the prophet of Baals, he leaves them and he goes up onto Mount Carmel. Elijah, chapter 1 Kings 19, Elijah. He goes up into Mount Carmel and he says, starts praying. Puts his head between his legs, starts praying. Sends his servant, one, nothing. Two, nothing. Three, nothing. On the seventh time, the cloud, the size of a man's fist, rose. You see, in him was faith. In him was life. In him was understanding of the kingdom. And that's why he could unleash the kingdom. But I love this. Is Brad Elijah? Is Chris Elijah? Is Tyron Elijah? See, what I love about the new covenant and the old covenant is the new covenant almost gives the validity to the old because it fulfills it. James chapter, I think it's 5, turns around and says, Elijah was just like you and me. What? I thought I wanted to sign up for the Elijah class. I thought I needed to be an Elijah. No, no. You need to simply believe and be filled with the kingdom, filled with life, and you will unleash heaven's power. Very quick signs to watch very carefully with the heart. We're all together. He wants to contaminate. He contaminated Adam and he contaminated Eve because he brought in the spirit of unbelief. We need to fight for pure devotion. I can tell you now, guys, tomorrow, Sunday's easier. Not easy, it's easier. Now I'm in the world come tomorrow. I've got staff, I've got business, I've got clients, I've got everything. And it's just, oh, Lord God, fighting for pure, undivided devotion. Man, but guys, the pattern we saw this morning, there is the test. There is the wilderness. That's where Christ brings life. That's when he brings his word. Notice, Christ brought the word. Please understand, you're in a fight. If you think it's a merry-go-round and a picnic and ham sandwiches, you're going to be a bit disappointed. You are in a war. You are in a war. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight for pure devotion. Fight for purity. How does a man keep his way pure? By living according to the word of God. David, off to war. Let me give this example. One of the greatest distractions the enemy entices with, number one, is the thing of counting census. Brad and I were talking about it. Satan enticed David for a census to count. Why? The moment you start counting, you start relying on your own strength, your own power, and your own ability. God can literally obliterate an army with 300 men. He doesn't need you. He just wants you to come and experience his power. If you really want to know, that's the partnership with the miraculous. Come and experience his power. And what a privilege to be a part of it. David went off to, when men went off to war, David said, no, this season I'm going to take a break. Do you know that men went off to war? Like we go off to work tomorrow. In springtime, men went off to war. He stayed back and said, no, I'm going to kick back in the palace. I'm the king. When you start to lay down what God has called you to, the specifics, the mandate, Brad said today, he got distracted with sloppiness. He got distracted with entitlement. I'm the king. I'm going to sit back in the palace. Boom, we know the story. When men went off to war, David should have been fighting. Why? That's actually his mandate. Watch tiredness. Guys, I've been tired lately, and it's not a physical tiredness. Remember, you've got physical tired, you've got emotional tiredness, you've got mental exhaustion. They are vastly different. I'm sure you've experienced them. They're different. Watch emotional, mental exhaustion. How do you know when you're mentally broken? You sit like this with a head skewed, watching TV, flicking through a channel, and you're watching absolute junk and you don't know what you're watching. Shut down the TV. Watch out, because something's coming next on that TV that's going to rip your heart. Close it off. Go to sleep or get into prayer and say, God, heal me. Keep in step with the rhythms of the Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit wants to dance with you? And my wife, when she dances with me, I've got two left feet. I'm not a very rhythmed guy. I'm still trying to do the socky. The socky, socky. I can't even try that one. The Holy Spirit has a rhythm. And he wants you to dance with him. But there's a rhythm. Be led by the Spirit. For you're sons of God. Be led by him. We're not nepos. The Greek word is nepos. We're not in nappies. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are weoses. They're the mature sons of God who rule and reign in the estate of God. See, that's why Galatians says, what's the difference between a child and a slave? There is no difference until the son comes of age to execute the estate. It is through the Spirit we put to misdeeds of the body. Guys, flesh cannot drive out flesh. Satan cannot drive out Satan. Jesus talks about that. In your flesh, you try to put to death things in your flesh you don't like. You're just in this perpetual spiral going down. Romans 8, through the Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the body. Name it, be unashamed of it, and let the Spirit of God deal with it. Understand, the Spirit of God can't deal when you're lingering with shame. Shame and condemnation is a work of Satan, and now you've got Satan involved in the healing, or the lack of. The shame doesn't work with the Spirit of God. You're his son, you're his daughter. Confess it, deal with it, and through the Spirit, let him nail it to death. Submit to the Spirit. Guys, this is a big one. Romans 8. The mind that does not submit to the Spirit, how about this, is hostile to God. I have been hostile to my shame. Because why? Actually, every inclination of that heart outside of the sanctification of the Spirit, it wants something. That's why James says, why do you have fights in your marriage? The Spirit of God says, because you don't get what you want. It has a whole different motive. Let's be led by the Spirit. Let's submit to him, because when we submit to the Spirit, the Bible's promised you life and he's promised you peace. Amen. And I gave that example of what Sorry gave about the die. I thought it was beautiful.